No, we just, we thank the Lord that He's coming back.
Amen.
Let's read that sign. Let's declare that sign together. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming again. The Lord's coming. Brothers and sisters, He's coming. Hallelujah. You know, this has been our fellowship all week long. It's been about the Lord's coming. And this morning's fellowship is the believer's proper attitude toward the Lord's coming. And His coming really is His presence, parousia. But His coming is much more than an event. We're not waiting for an event that's going to happen somewhere in the future, and we just live the way we want to live until that event happens. Rather, the event is really the Lord's presence every day. So every day we need to be those governed and ruled by the Lord's presence, you know, enjoying His presence, loving His presence, loving His appearing, that it would affect our daily living. It would affect our choices. It would affect our careers. It would affect the classes we take. It would affect the job we take. It would affect what we do in our spare time. What we do and the way we live would be affected by the Lord's presence. That we would be living in His presence. Not just thinking about an event in the future, but realizing, and we'll see this, we need to be consider the Lord's coming that could come at any moment. The early believers, they lived their life this way. They lived considering the fact that the Lord could come at any moment. In Thessalonians, you know, it was a book on a holy life awaiting the Lord's return. Now that was in the first century. They were young believers, new believers, probably less than a year in the Lord. Yet, they were waiting the Lord's return. And so this, we need to adopt, we need to have this same attitude, the same realization, the Lord is coming. And it needs to affect and impact everything, every aspect, every element of our daily life. No part of our daily living should be lived outside of the light or consideration of the Lord's return. So let's, now, as we fellowship this morning, I'll be sharing some from some fellowship Minoru had with the West Coast. So I've got some notes from some of his fellowship. So I'll share some from the outline, some from Minoru's fellowship. But it all revolves around the Lord's presence. Loving His presence. Loving His person. Waiting for Him to come back. That's the theme of all the fellowship this morning. That we would be preserved from this evil age. Preserved from all the evilness that's in this age that's trying to impact and affect us. And we will be that light, that shining light, that testimony, that anti-testimony, the testimony against this age. Amen. Let's read again. Let's read the title. Let's read the bold title in caps and then the subtitle underneath it. The Lord's coming. The believer's proper attitude toward the Lord's coming. And let's read Romans 1 together. Having realized that the Lord will soon come again, we need to give heed to the prophetic word as a lamp shining in the darkness to receive the Lord's warning and to have a proper attitude toward His coming. This is based on 2 Peter 1:19, which we have a marvelous song to, but I'll just read it. 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the prophetic word made more firm. Made more firm. To which you do well to give heed. As to a lamp shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So that's one of the aspects or statuses of the Lord in His return is He's the morning star. The age is dark and getting darker. But we need to be those waiting, watching for the Lord as the morning star. That we're ready when He returns. So, This teaching of the Lord's return is something we really need to pay attention to today. It was very much in the heart of the early saints. It needs to be in our heart today, especially when we realize that, in fact, His literal coming is getting close. And we saw the other night there are the signs of the Lord's coming. Now, so far in the various messages, I'll just go through what we've done. We've talked about the promise of the Lord's coming. He's promised to come back.
Amen.
Do you believe that promise?
Amen.
Amen. There are signs of His coming. We'll talk about, just briefly run through those in a moment. There are statuses of His coming. Like He's a king. He's the morning star. He's also a thief stealing something precious away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then there's the preparation for His coming. We want to be prepared. Watching and being ready. That's a matter of life. Watching and being ready, being filled with the oil. Then last night we saw being faithful in service. So there's life in service. Not only do we need to be filled with Him as our oil, but then we need to be faithful to Him in service. So He comes back also as a judge. And at the judgment seat, he'll ask us. Well, He'll tell us. He may ask us to give an account, but He will tell us whether we've been faithful in service and whether we're filled with oil. And so we need to be considering really every aspect, everything we've been through this week really prepares us for the proper attitude. Of course, in the morning sessions, we had a time of morning revival, just touching the Lord in a fresh way. And we need to be those every day, touching the Lord, worshiping Him, knowing Him in His sweet presence, lingering there, getting to know our Lord and listening to Him, listening to what He might say, just like Abraham lingered with Him. Then eventually Abraham knew how to intercede for Lot. Abraham didn't just sit back and say, "Wow, I just fed dinner to the God of the universe," and let Him walk away. No, he rushed after Him. And then the Lord said, "I have to tell Abraham what's on my heart." So because Abraham lingered, the Lord spoke to Abraham. Then Abraham interceded. So we need to be those who linger with the Lord. He'll speak to us like He spoke to Moses, like He spoke to Abraham. And then we may intercede based on what He shares with us. So we need to be that way. Then there's the matter of the exercise of our human spirit. Every day, every moment of every day, we need to be full of the exercise of the Spirit. So these two morning sessions are really taking care of the life side. Time with the Lord and our emphasis on exercising our spirit. Then in the next morning session was on laboring with the Lord on the campuses. So now we come into the matter of service. Life, we're filled with life, then we go serve the Lord in service. The Lord was a very busy person when He was on the earth, but He spent a lot of time alone with the Father. We need to be the same. A lot of time alone with the Lord, but then we'll be busy about His business. Then in the evening sessions, we saw all these aspects of the Lord's return. Now, some of these signs, one, you know, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will come up. Now, that's a little bit in the future yet, but this age is getting more and more lawless, more and more ready for this man of lawlessness to come up. Things that were once frowned upon are now rejoiced about. It's unfortunate. Things that were frowned upon, now everybody rejoices in them. And we'll mention a few of those things later on. But the age is getting more and more lawless. Then there's also the restoration of Israel and the return of Jerusalem. This is a key sign. You know, that says when you see the fig tree and the leaves blossoming on the fig tree, you know the time is close. This generation will not pass away. So it took 1948 years for Jerusalem, for the fig tree to come up, to be seen. And in 20 years, approximately 20 years later, the leaves came out. That was the return of Jerusalem. So now we know it took 2,000 years for that to happen. The Lord says, from now on, the time is sure. So we have this sign in particular to realize we are in the age of the Lord's return. There's no question about it, saints. We are in the age of the Lord's return. We can't know the day and the hour. At some point in time, we'll be able to figure out the year. But I guarantee you, once you're able to figure out the year, if you haven't been preparing, it's probably too late. Because you only have 3.5 years. So if you're not, if you haven't, so we need to be preparing now. We don't know. We don't know when the year is right now. We don't know. And that's the Lord's wisdom, to keep it hidden from us. So we would have the attitude, Lord, I want you back. Lord, I want you back. So day by day, this would affect our living. But it is close. It is close. It's very close. Very, very close. Then, of course, there's the rebuilding of the temple. That's also, when we see that happening, if we haven't been preparing, probably, unless you were just saved at about that time. If you were just saved at about that time, then you have enough time. But if you're in the Lord today like we are, we need to spend all of our time laboring with the Lord in the field, spending time with Him, loving Him, laboring with Him in the field. Then, of course, there's the great tribulation. We don't want to be here. Okay, the enemy will be in a rage, catastrophic is the word I'm looking for. There will be climate issues too, but catastrophic things will be happening on the earth like have never happened before. You know, things are starting to happen already. Really, things, you know, the earthquakes and tsunamis and the Hurricane Sandys and all these types of things, Katrina, these types of things that have been getting really bad. Well, this continued to get worse. So it gives us an indication the time is coming. But the Lord will come as a thief and rapture away. Rapture means into ecstasy. Rapture away His lovers. Amen. Those who love His appearing. Amen. Those who are spending their time laboring before the Lord in His field. And then there's the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, let's talk about that for a moment. A lot of you, you know, you hear about it, but I've had a chance to travel a little bit. And all I can say is the gospel of the kingdom is being preached in the whole inhabited earth. It's truly happening today. There's one interesting statistic. 90% of the world's population has a testimony in their country. Did you hear that? 90% of the world's population has a testimony in their country. Not 90% of the countries, but 90% of the world's population has a testimony in their country. And the brothers and sisters are laboring hard to take care of the other 10%. There's a lot going on, a lot going on. So when you look around, you see, for instance, places like Pakistan. About a year ago or so, two families from mainland China migrated there. And about the last 6 months, there's been a testimony in Lahore. About 30 saints meeting regularly in Lahore. They were just growing fast. And then two more couples came, and now they have also laboring in Islamabad, Pakistan. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah! There's something going on in Iran. I can't say what it is, but there is something going on in Iran. Some saints have been trained there. Isn't that amazing? And when you hear about places like Bangladesh and Cambodia and Vietnam, and you hear some of the reports of how they're having perfecting trainings, morning revival, home meetings, blending conferences, all these things that are going on in all these what we quote call third world countries, realize the gospel of the kingdom is being preached. So Matthew 28:19 says we need to disciple the nations. That's the part we don't think about too much, but we need to disciple the nations. Well, brothers and sisters, the nations are being discipled right now. So the gospel of the kingdom has never been preached in the whole inhabited earth the way it is today. Never. Not in 2,000 years, not in the first century. Today, the gospel of the kingdom is close. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is close to fulfilling the Lord's word in the whole inhabited earth. Now, it's not just churches need to be set up, but the body and the bride needs to be produced through these churches. So the fact that the churches are going there, that's a huge step. The fact that the truth of the ministry and the practice of the ministry and the practices of the God-ordained way and the practices that really were among the disciples in the first century are all being recovered in these churches around the world. And that will produce the bride. So my point is, a lot of things are happening to show that's getting very close. And the Lord can do things overnight. All of a sudden, one day we may wake up and realize, oh, the Antichrist is there. You know, there's a in Europe, the leaders are saying this: we lack leadership. Now, what's that mean? That means they're ready for somebody to become a leader. So we want to realize we're in the age of the Lord's return. So we need to be those living in His presence. We truly don't have any time to waste. We truly don't. And we never do. Because, you know, we all know ones that the Lord has called home unexpectedly. So He doesn't call many home that way. But it's always a warning to us when it happens to realize that He left us here for His purpose. But we don't have no guarantee we'll be here tomorrow. So we need to be those living in the light of His return, living according to His presence. Not just an event in the future, but His presence today. So again, in all matters, we need to conduct ourselves in the light of His presence, the light of His return. We need to have faith in His return. And we're a very particular people. And He's going to come in a very particular way to a very particular people. People that are different from all those around. So, again, it's the Lord's presence. It's His presence that we need to be considering. And, you know, He trained His disciples to know His invisible presence. For 3.5 years, they just knew Him. All the time. Then all of a sudden, He was with them and He'd disappear. And He'd appear again and He'd disappear. So He trained them to be aware of to know Him and His invisible presence. So we need to love His invisible presence today. Yes, one day we will see Him face to face. But today, we need to love the Lord, His invisible presence. We need to know Him in our spirit. That's why we exercise our spirit. That's why we have a clear conscience. That's why we want to know Him in our intuition, in fellowship, so He can dispense Himself into us, fill us with gold, silver, and precious stones. We need to be those saying, Lord, take me now. Lord, defeat me now. How many of you feel you are defeating the Lord? Unfortunately, right? Too many times we defeat the Lord. Has the Lord ever defeated you? Amen. Yes. Eventually He wins, right? Amen. But Lord, we need to pray, Lord, defeat us. Amen. Lord, forgive us for defeating you. Lord, come back. Lord, make us ready. Lord, we're full of love to you. Lord, increase that love for you every day. Okay, let's look at the outline 1A. Read it together. Since we know the Lord's coming is so precious, we should have a living that loves the Lord's appearing. A living that loves the Lord's appearing. And we've all heard about Sister Emmy Barber. And she was someone who truly lived this way. And she studied under D.M. Panton and some of the ones that were so knowledgeable about the details and facts of the Lord's return. But yet, she would say, it's 1925. Lord, why haven't you come back yet? Lord, it's the last day. You still have time to come back today. Lord, you're not going to wait until next year, are you? But this was her heart. This was the way she lived. And this obviously had a great impression on Brother Nee, especially because she took him out for a walk one day and said, perhaps as we come around this corner, we'll meet the Lord. She was that tuned in to the Lord's presence. Here's a sweet hymn of hers I like. It's short. We're not going to sing it. It's 9:57, but I'll read it. Watch, for the morning is breaking. A moment, and He will be here. The mist and the shadows are fleeing. The darkness will soon disappear. And He, for whom ages have waited, the Lord who has tarried so long, will come in an outburst of glory. A moment, and we shall be gone. Watch, for the morning is breaking. A moment, the crown will be won. A moment, and we shall be with Him. A moment, the journey is done. Lord, keep us each moment unsleeping. Unsleeping. We don't want to become befuddled by this age. And count us all worthy to be in that noble band of Thy watchers, whose life is a vigil with Thee. So this should be, it's short. That's what makes it so sweet. Short, but very, very poignant, very powerful. 9:57. Sometimes I sing this to the Lord in the morning. But Lord, keep us each moment unsleeping. We want to be in the noble band of Thy watchers whose life is a vigil with Thee. So she lived this way. She was a testimony of someone who lived watching, waiting for the Lord. So we need to live like this, brothers and sisters. And, every one of us that was speaking this week, we're speaking to ourselves as well as everybody else. We need this speaking. So we're really speaking to ourselves. Don't say, these brothers know what it's all about. We don't. Maybe you brothers, I don't. Okay, I need this speaking. I need to be looking in a mirror, speaking to myself as we're speaking this. That we would live this way in the light of His presence. In the light that He's coming back. Okay, let's read A1 together. Loving the present age, world now before our eyes, is in contrast to loving the Lord's appearing. Lord's appearing, we shall take sides with Him and fight for His interest. Okay, His interest, the gospel. His interest, spreading the churches. It doesn't mean we're going out and fighting with people and trying to convince them that their ideas are wrong. That's not the type of fighting we're talking about here. We're fighting for the Lord's interest, which is preaching the gospel, raising up the church life, serving Him. That's the Lord's interest. That's His interest. But to do that, we need to be a testimony against this age. We need to live a holy living. Okay, let's read 2 together. Because we love the Lord's appearing, we should eagerly wait for His coming as a bride awaits her bridegroom on the wedding day. So just like a bride is waiting. A bride doesn't get up all of a sudden and decide, oh, it's my wedding day, I guess I'll get ready. doesn't happen that way. The bride, over a period of time, prepares for that wedding. Prepares for that wedding day. With that wedding day in view, but realizing that as the day gets closer, the presence of her bridegroom will get closer and closer. But as a preparation time with that in view. And the bride is thinking a lot about these things. These things are on the bride's heart all the time. Because as the day gets closer and closer and closer. And we need to be the same way. We need to consider that we're a bride waiting for a bridegroom, preparing for a bridegroom. Think that we're in the last month, right before the wedding. If you have any of you ever watched a bride get ready, the last month is pretty hectic, right? So we need to live like we're in the last month, right before the wedding day. And that has to be the way we're living before the Lord. If we're living with that realization, that we're preparing, we're just preparing for this wedding that honestly could come very quickly. We don't know. All of a sudden, one day you woke up and the Berlin Wall was down. You know, one day you woke up and leader of Russia was standing on top of a tank. I mean, just like that, Yeltsin. Yeah, Yeltsin was standing on top of a tank. I mean, the Soviet Union had fallen. So we don't know. We don't know. Yes, there looks like maybe there's, you know, the precursor to the 10 kingdoms are there in Europe, kind of fitting, you know, fiddling around. But all of a sudden, one day, somebody could rise up, and we don't know. We don't know. That's the point, is we don't know. But the Lord has made it that way, so that we would be those just like that bride. Now, the bride knows the day. But we have to prepare like the day is tomorrow. That's how really we need to be preparing, like the day is tomorrow. Okay, let's read 3. The appearing of Christ must be the basic factor in our daily living. We must live every day in the light of the Lord's appearing. Every day, the basic factor. The basic factor is not what is my major. The basic factor is not what job am I going to get. Basic factor is not who am I going to marry, although it's an important factor. It's not the basic factor. Okay, the basic factor is the Lord's coming back. And then if we're focused on the Lord's coming back, yet living a normal life, that's the challenge. We need to focus on the coming back, yet live a normal life. In the early 70s, 1972 to be specific, there was just a sense in the Lord's recovery about the Lord's return, because there'd been a lot of fellowship about it. And during that time, I think Brother Bill mentioned, Brother Lee had a conference, I think it was in San Francisco. In the early 70s, a conference in San Francisco about the Lord's return. So this just was permeating the Lord's return. And I had a little boy who was 9 months old at the time. And I thought, wow, I wonder what will happen to him when we're raptured. Because we really did not expect him to grow up. We were, the sense of his return was that much among us. The sense of his imminent return was that much among us. We just wondered. Lord, you have a way. We just figured, Lord, you have a way. But that sense, and it was there for a period of time, it was not just a fleeting sense. It was there for a few years, very much among us. Well, today, I have a granddaughter that could be in this university in 2 years. So, we don't know. But we need to live like it could be tomorrow. That sense of his coming needs to be so prevalent among us. So prevalent among us. So it's a basic factor in our daily living. Let's read 4 together. While we live a transformed life in a godly and godly manner, we are expecting, awaiting, and hastening the coming of the day of God. Not only do we expect the day of God, we would hasten it. Let's say that last phrase again. We would hasten it. Realize we have the capacity, the capability to hasten the Lord's return. If we give our hearts to love Him, because that's really what He's waiting. He's waiting for the bride to love Him. That's it. That's really what it's all about. The bride that loves Him, loves one another, that His love permeates a group of people that brings about the one accord and a love for Him. And then he comes back. That's putting it in very simple terms, but that's what it's all about. We love Him, His love spreads abroad to one another, and there's a group of overcomers, a group of lovers that become the man-child. And that's what it's all about. Then we can hasten. You know, the Word says it, so we have to believe it. So we're not sitting up there, sitting back, looking at the date on the calendar. Now, obviously, He's God, so He knows. He knows. He knows whether we have hastened it or not. But we can hasten it. We can hasten it. Okay, let's read. Sisters, read B. Amen. Watch and be ready. He'll come as a thief. He'll steal the precious ones away. He'll look who's full of gold, silver, and precious stones. Who has labored to produce in their labor gold, silver, and precious stones? It's not only what we're filled with, but what has our labor produced? If our labor has produced gold, silver, and precious stones, if we're those who minister gold, silver, and precious stones, then the Lord will come back. He will be excited to come back and steal these ones away. Brothers, read one.
We need to watch and take heed to ourselves, lest our hearts be weighed down with debauchery, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day come upon us suddenly as a snare.
Yeah, that day come upon us suddenly as a snare. So, all the things of this age are designed by Satan to stupefy us, to weigh us down. But we have a Christ in us.
Amen.
We have the hope of glory in us.
Amen.
And this one is in us to encourage us, strengthen us to love his appearing. The Christ in us wants to watch for the Christ coming back. So we have one in us who wants to watch for the one coming back. The same one. The same Christ. They're connected. Hallelujah!
Amen.
There's the heavenly ladder. Christ in us is connected to the Christ in the heavens. So as we touch him, then he's the one anxiously awaiting for his return. And these things, you know, could take us over just like a snare. Okay, let's read two together. We need to be watchful at every time, beseeching that we would prevail to escape all the things which are about to happen and stand before the Son of Man. See, that's one of his promises. A promise to rapture his lovers out, away from all that's going to happen at the end of this age. All the judgment, all the seven bowls and the seven seals. Seven seals are first, then the seven bowls. And the seven trumpets are in there. So anyway, all these matters that are just pouring out destruction on the earth. Mostly on the Antichrist's kingdom. And some other parts. But anybody in this country is going to be affected. So don't think, well, I'll be in the U.S. and I'll be okay. You won't be okay. You won't be okay. It's not going to be pleasant anywhere. It's going to be worse some places than others, but it's not going to be pleasant any place, anywhere. Let me just give you a little hint of something that could happen. You know, in the mid-1800s, there was a solar flare that was so strong, it set the telephone wires on fire. The power that came through from that solar flare literally set telegraph wires on fire. Now, do you know what would happen to the world if something like that hit the earth today? We'd be immediately back into the 1800s. You know, no electronics would work. All electronics would be fried. I mean, that's just, you know, in other words, it's easy for the Lord to do something. That's the point. It's easy for him to do something. So again, we need to be aware. You know, don't think this earth is just totally protected because of this nice atmosphere we have. You know, there's the Lord's little finger can pull a solar flare out and it just flies to earth. It's happened before. So then recently there was a couple of asteroids. One that just missed us and one that blew up in Russia. Another one, I think, you know, anyway, there's two or three recently. So again, we need to, you know, Lord, we want to be ready. We want to be ready. We want to be ready. Okay, let's read C together. Every today that we have is truly the Lord's grace. Therefore, as long as we have today, as long as we still have breath, we should love the Lord and His appearing and wait the Lord's coming and always take His coming as an encouragement. Take His coming as an encouragement. You know, we read the verse earlier in the week. He's long-suffering. Now, that doesn't mean infinitely suffering. He's not suffering for eternity, but He is long-suffering. That none would perish, that all would come to repentance. So, brothers and sisters, just like we enjoyed earlier in the week, He is long-suffering that we would come to repentance, that we would become His bride. He is wanting, desiring us to be His bride. He wants to transform us. He's not speaking these things to us lightly. He's not speaking these things to us thinking that they're just going to go in one ear and out the other. He's speaking these things to us expecting that we will take action. You know, Daniel 11:32. But those who know their God will rise up and take action. So He's speaking these things to us so that we would take action. Take action to wait on Him. Take action to serve Him. We would take action based on all the fellowship we've had. Take action to be in the ministry. Take action to get companions. Take action to dive into the church life. Take action to be in the vital groups. Take action to be in the nucleus. Take action to read the Word. Memorize the Word. The Lord's speaking these things that it would affect our daily living. Not that we would be doing something else, that we would be kind of impervious. Not that we would be befuddled. So His coming is an encouragement. Because look around you. When you read the news, when you look at the things out in the world, when you are you encouraged? No. No. His coming is an encouragement.
Amen.
His coming will end it all.
Amen.
His coming will solve the problems of mankind. You know, today mankind wants to save the world, wants the whales, and save the world, but save the whales, you know, save the trees, hug the trees. Not that there's anything wrong with all of that, but that's not going to solve man's problems. Man's just digging himself deeper and deeper. The harder he tries, the behinder he gets. So, all the social problems, all the environmental problems, all the governmental problems, all these will be solved at the Lord's return. His first return solved, took care of man's redemption. He redeemed man so He could get a bride. And then that bride is going to be with Him in the kingdom. And the kingdom is where there will be the proper righteousness, the proper social order. The earth will be healed, restored. The lion and the lamb will lie together. So it's in that age. This age, we're preparing to bring the Lord back. That's really what we're doing. We're preparing to bring Him back. So the more time we all corporately spend time loving Him, then that will bring Him back. Remember, there's 200 talents in this room. Hallelujah.
Amen.
200 talents to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Amen. That's our function. So we should be encouraged. Our hope is in Christ. We need to be those speaking the gospel. You know, what our friends need are the gospel. What our friends need are Christ. You know, they have lots of problems. There's lots of suicide. There's lots of all kinds of things going on today. And Christ is the answer to all of this. Christ is the answer. So we need to be emboldened. We need to be emboldened to preach the gospel, to go forth and speak the truth the Lord has given us. Our hope is in Christ. Their hope is in Christ. You know, all the things that you see, especially the computer games and all that stuff, they're evil, desensitizing man to man. You know, in one of the two wars, either the First or Second World War, they noticed that the infantrymen were not able to shoot and hit the enemy. And they were trying to figure out why. And then they realized there's an innate element in man that does not want to shoot another man. An innate element in man that does not want to shoot another man. So they were having trouble. So instead of training them to shoot at a bullseye, they trained the men to shoot at a silhouette. And once they started shooting at a silhouette, they got desensitized. And then they could shoot at other men. So what do you think these video games do? What do you think these video games do? To desensitize. I mean, they're more than a silhouette. They're virtually real. They're virtually real. People shooting people. With all kinds of automatic weapons and all kinds of stuff. So the point is, this is devilish, demonic. Destroying, and it's an addictive. It's destroying man's mind. It's destroying man's love for man. You're an actor. You literally become an actor in a virtual reality. So this is what the enemy is doing. This is what we need to stand against. We need to not let this stuff get touch us. We need to have a living apart from this type of stuff. Living apart from these ugly video games. Living apart from all the elements of the internet that are destroying humanity. You know, in the days of Noah, it said the imagination of people is evil continually. Well, again, that's all these video games do. They train man's mind to be evil continually, thinking all kinds of evil, all kinds of evil violence, all kinds of evil fornication, all kinds of evil, of any imaginable evil. So we need to be those living a holy life. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm going to read the whole verse here. A lot of times we use it just a part of it, but I'm going to read the whole verse. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's really the focus of that verse. The focus of the verse is living a holy life, being preserved, living a holy life, waiting the coming of the Lord. That's really the focus of the verse. Now, we use it in another way, which is fine, because it does show the three parts of man. It's one of the best verses to show the three parts of man. But the whole focus of that verse is living a holy life, waiting for the Lord's return. But living a holy life with our whole body, our whole being, all parts of our being. Not just our spirit, not just our soul, not just our body, but all parts. In fact, notice it says spirit and soul and body. So spirit's mentioned first. So again, the exercise of the spirit. Then we can live a holy living, waiting for the Lord's return. The whole book of Thessalonians, every chapter mentions the Lord's return. And this was to new believers. But they were living a holy life, waiting the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, just parts of the verse. You turn from idols to await his son from the heavens. Turn from idols to await his son from the heavens. So, again, we turn away because all this stuff can become an idol. All these things of this age can become an idol. Video games especially can become an idol. The internet can become an idol. The news can become an idol. Anything that usurps us and takes us away from our realization that the Lord is coming, that we need to be those in his presence, living in his presence. So the prophecies should impact our life today. All the prophecies about the Lord's coming, all the fellowship we're having this week, should impact our life. Remember what I mentioned earlier, in the early 70s, there was just a sense, I mean, the whole recovery, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And it did affect the way we lived. And we need to pray, Lord, bring that realization back to us. Amen. Bring it back to us, that our living will be affected by your coming. Then there's also the matter, the evil matter of homosexuality. That's prevalent in the world today. The Defense of Marriage Act was overturned by the Supreme Court a short time ago. That defined marriage between a man and a woman. I think it was a California law. And when that was overturned, the bishop of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., had the bells ring for 45 minutes in celebration of the fact that it was overturned. Brothers and sisters, wrong is becoming right. Wrong is becoming right. And it was mentioned the other night, President Obama applauded one of the NBA players that recently said he was gay. So again, this is becoming public. It's becoming the politically correct, right thing. Our attitude is to live a holy living.
Amen.
We are not here to get up in a soapbox and go out and carry banners. Okay, that's not our function or our focus. We're not here to beat people up with the Bible. Okay, we love all mankind. We stand against the sin. We live the proper life before the Lord. We're not going around telling people what to do. You know, in one sense, live and let live. If the Lord saves someone, He will speak to them. He will take care of their situation. We preach Christ.
Amen.
This is our goal, is to preach Christ.
Amen.
Preach the love of Christ and preach Christ. He will take care of the social issues. He will take care of the living of the ones we preach Christ to. It's His inner life, His resurrection life, that will save them in His resurrection, according to His word. We just believe the word. What the Bible calls sin, we call sin. And we guard ourselves against it. That's our burden this morning. We guard ourselves from being touched by all the sinful elements of this age, because they're all over the internet. I grew up with Ozzy and Harriet. I know you don't. The point is, on television, they slept in separate beds. That's how, in a sense, sanctified even the TV was in that age. Pardon me? Oh, that's true. They were husband. Ozzy and Harriet were husband and wife in life. But on the TV show, they slept in separate beds. And today, gay characters are coming into all the TV shows. I mean, it's in the commercials. You can't. I mean, it's the sinfulness of the age is just permeating the airwaves. It's despicable, depraved, pathetic. So, brothers and sisters, we have to guard our eyes, guard our heart, keep from being affected by this. Because you touch this, you touch something like this, it affects your conscience. It puts some dirt on your conscience. Even if you don't consciously say, wow, that was good, still, you see it, there's something that lingers there, and it puts some dirt on you. You're walking through the world, it puts dirt. Well, there's more mud being slung around the world than there ever has before. So we constantly need to be washed by the cleansing of the water in the Word. You can't walk across a campus without hearing things you don't want to hear, without seeing things you don't want to see. All these things affect our spirit and our conscience. So we need to be those guarding our heart, helping one another guard our hearts with our companions in the Word, in the life study, in the ministry. I mentioned earlier in the week, I used to carry the little life studies that came out in my back pocket on the train. They were coffee stained. But my wife used to tell me, I'm not giving that to you because you're going to bend, fold, mutilate, and spindle it. Which I did. But I ate it too. So I read them on the train. Today we've got the little life study of Genesis now that can folds up and fit in your pocket. I think you've seen it. We need to be in those. And they're coming out. Gradually, the life studies are coming out in that format. So we thank the Lord for that. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be those separated. Separated, light is separated from darkness. There is no There's no marriage, no oneness between light and darkness. So we need to be those separated. Because the more humanity gets into these things, the more they get addicted to these things, the more depraved activities they'll do. They get into things on the internet, they become more and more depraved. So our response is, we love the Lord's appearing. Lord, I love your presence. Lord, you're coming back. Lord, I want to live today like you're coming back today. Because you might. We need to have that realization. Lord, I live today like you're coming back today because you might come back today. If Sister Barbara could live that way in 1925, when she physically knew the signs had not come yet, we can live that way today. Because all the signs that have to be happened have happened. Except for the start of the last three and a half years. And if they start tomorrow, and they could start tomorrow, we will be, well, how would you react if tomorrow morning you woke up and saw the Antichrist has signed a contract with Israel? Would that affect your living? Well, it could happen tomorrow. Seriously. It could happen tomorrow. So we need to live like it could happen tomorrow. Because it could. It could. And the Lord could surprise us all. Maybe we've missed something in the prophecies. Maybe he will come back and we don't know that. You know, we think we understand the prophecies. But everybody in the Old Testament thought they understood the prophecies too. Didn't act appropriately. There was Simeon who the Lord really truly spoke to. He knew. But he was just waiting. Simeon didn't know the time. Simeon was just waiting, and eventually the Lord as a baby was given to him. So we need to be those living like the Lord could come back today. Living like he could come back today. And brothers and sisters, we're fellowshipping this way because for your preservation. The world is just going downhill at accelerating pace. You know, when you drop something, it falls at a rate of 32 feet per second squared, right? Every second, it picks up another 32 feet per second of acceleration. Okay, so the world is going downhill at an accelerating pace. So we need to dive into the Word at an equally accelerating pace. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Word. Be filled with the Word. So we must contact the Lord daily. Day by day, moment by moment. You know, the world today makes a mockery of the Lord's coming. Like talks to that in 2 Peter, like we heard. Makes a mockery of His coming. But we need to be those awaiting His recoming. Awaiting Him. We need to prepare each day like He's coming. If you know your boss is coming back at a certain date, you would prepare for His coming back, right? Or if you knew in the army they would have surprise inspections. So you had to live your life like there might be a surprise inspection today. That, you know, you need to keep the barracks clean. And, of course, the army can be unreasonable. One day we were in an old barracks, really old barracks that had old coal-fired furnaces. And a fella came in with white gloves on and took his glove across the top of this old coal furnace. That's not fair. It's dirt up there. It's not fair. It's a coal furnace. Okay. Well, we can't tell the Lord he wasn't fair. But Lord. Okay. We know how the Lord's going to judge us. We are those that need to be faithful. He's the faithful one in us, loves us, cares for us. So we must contact Him daily. The main thing is to contact His presence. His presence needs to be the most important thing to us. His presence is life and peace. We're not talking about some great feeling we walk around with all day long. Just that we have the life and peace of His anointing within us all the time. And when we lose it, we need to find out real quick, why, Lord, did I lose your presence? Why did I lose life and peace, which is the sign of your presence? And then confess, touch the Lord. Remember, the first and most important exercise of our spirit is to confess and clear our conscience. Then all the other life practices help us exercise and release our spirit. Remember, if the calling of all these things are kind of getting dry, then we need to come back to the Lord. Lord, why? And a book I'd really recommend reading is The Law of Revival. Get that book. Everyone, if you get that book, The Law of Revival. Because it talks about how Christians, the Lord, you know, we touch the Lord in such a fresh way one day. Wow, I mean, now I know how to do it. Now I'm going to be here till I'm going to be in this same level of enjoyment till he comes back. Has anybody ever felt that way? Does it happen? No, because the Lord has more to show us. He wants to go deeper. So we touch him in that precious, fresh way. Then, gradually, realize, well, I touched him that way. But then we realize he's got something more. So, just like in the secret in the Song of Songs, again and again, she says, wow, I've made it. I'm laying down, but his hand is at the door. Or he's out dancing on the hills, but I'm in here. And then she found, either he would call her or she would go after him. So we need to realize that we long for the Lord's presence. And any time we begin to lose it, it could well be his way of calling us on to the next step. It doesn't mean we failed. It doesn't mean we're condemned. It doesn't necessarily mean we've sinned. But it does mean we lost his presence. Lord, why have I lost your presence? Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because he's always wanting to call us deeper. So we need to know his presence. We need to love his presence. When we don't have it, or we feel, oh, Lord, the church life has become kind of boring, kind of mundane and routine. Has anybody ever felt that way? Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? But it's just a sign from the Lord telling us you need to stretch forward. You need to stretch on. It's time. I want to show you something more. I've got something more of myself to show you. So we need to be those pressing on all the time into the Lord's presence, being preserved from this world. So we need to live a holy life. We need to be those living a holy life before the Lord. This world is trying to destroy us, destroy our sanctification in every possible way. So we need to, that's why we need companions. Don't apologize for the fact that you're different. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. That'll keep them from bothering you. That'll keep them from bothering you. Preach the gospel. But don't apologize for how we are. We thank the Lord. We're living a holy life before the Lord, and we're thankful for this. Dive into the church life. You can't survive on your own. And if you do happen to be someplace where you're by yourself, by the Lord's sovereignty, like I said, I spent a year in Vietnam. I was married for 6 months and spent a year in Vietnam. That was not an easy year. But I did have some companions there. Some Christian companions. And so wherever you are, preferably, obviously, we'd like someone who has the same view as we do concerning the matter of the Lord's recovery. But if you're by yourself, you can fellowship with other Christians in Christ in the Lord. And that companion may be the one the Lord wants to bring into his recovery. So wherever we are, we need to have companions. But Skype is a marvelous, Satan uses every invention. And a lot of these internet inventions were started for evil reasons. Or if they weren't started for evil reasons, they're used for evil reasons. But the Lord can also use them. So we need to use all the technology that we can for the purpose of the Lord. So use Skype. Skype with your friends. Set up a Skype appointment. Skype fellowship. Skype vital groups. And stay away from things like Harry Potter. Vampires. I can understand the fascination with vampires today. What is it? What is it? Something that doesn't exist, could never exist. And this fascination with zombies. Even the CDC, tongue in cheek, has what to do with the zombie attack. You know, the disease control. Anyway, they tongue in cheek have something for what to do in case of a zombie attack. Can you believe it? Brothers and sisters, let's get focused. The world is going crazy. They think we're kind of unusual because we believe in a God we can't see. They believe in zombies and vampires. Isn't that pathetic? That's pathetic. So anyway, we just need to be those who love the Lord. Love is appearing. Flee youthful lusts. Brothers and sisters, dive into the church life. Flee youthful lusts. Call on the Lord. Those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Be aggressive, be on the offense. Preach the gospel. We don't have anything to apologize for. Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. How many felt you were redeeming the time when you were out preaching the gospel?
Amen.
Amen. And as I said, you know, before you all went out, anytime I ever go out on the gospel, whether someone gets saved or not, whether something exciting happens or not, I feel that period of time was redeemed by the Lord. So if you want to redeem some time, go preach the gospel. One time I was in Austin for the reunion there, and I just had a bad day. Just a bad day. I woke up with a bad day. But I had an appointment later in the day to go preach the gospel. No, I didn't want to go to that appointment to preach the gospel. I didn't want to go to the morning coordination. I went to the morning coordination. I didn't want to go to preach the gospel, but I went to preach the gospel. The point is, we need to rise above our bad days, rise above our feelings. The Lord has given us a will. He's given us a will to choose Him. And yes, I got saved that day. Nothing exciting happened that day, but I did get saved. Hallelujah! Actually, and I was going out with someone probably 40 years younger than I was, preaching the gospel. But we enjoyed the Lord together. We enjoyed the Lord together. So let's read D together, 1D. We need to keep the word of Christ's endurance and keep the Lord's works until the end. Okay, it's His endurance in us. It's not our endurance. It's Christ's endurance in us. Okay, E. The last prayer of the Bible is, "Come, Lord Jesus." We should all pray such a prayer and have such a desire. All pray such a prayer and have such a desire. Let's say that together three times. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we mean it.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, come.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's read F together. In these last days, for the Lord's coming, we must be those who have great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart. Okay, great resolutions, great searchings of heart. And again, like I mentioned before, Daniel 11:32b. But those who know their God should show strength and take action. It's the Lord's strength. So the Lord has given us a will to choose Him. Now, we don't have the power to carry it out. We have the power to choose, though. We have the power to choose to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Lord, I give my life to you. We have the power to consecrate. We have the power to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And so we need to make a Nazarite vow. Nazarite vow to the Lord. That for our living is His for Him. When I was saved, my salvation prayer was, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's how I prayed. And He came in and He has been that since. Yes, there have been failures. Yes, there have been days when I didn't know if I was going to be able to would follow the Lord or not. There have been, you know, difficult times, but that's the Christian life. But He's faithful. He's faithful to keep our consecration. If we've consecrated ourselves to Him, He will keep that consecration. He will strengthen us. He will operate. And then we need to be those, when the Lord calls, He may lead us be in an occupation for a while. Then He may call. When I was mentioned earlier, an international business consultant, and I worked internationally with one particular company for a period of time. And today that company is successful, and I can honestly say it's because of the project I managed for that company. So at this point, I was right at the peak of my consulting career. I was a consultant to other consultants. And then the Twin Towers got smashed. I thought, wow, Lord, that can go down that fast, and I'm spending all my, a lot, I'm not all, I about half my energy was in the church life, half my energy was trying to help companies get better. I thought, wow. Then the next year, the Enron disaster happened. And I thought, Lord, I'm just helping a bunch of crooks. It was shortly after that I went full time. And the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, I just want to give all of my time to you, not just half of it. I'm going to give it all to you. And I had a website up. I was kind of traveling through China at the time, getting ready to set up a business there, a joint venture. And eventually I realized I would have to move to China to set it up. They weren't willing to pay the international plane flights back and forth. And so my wife and I decided, no, that's not what we're going to do. And shortly after we decided, no, we'll just go full time, I started getting these offers. The top consulting country in the world in this particular field asked me, saw my website, and asked me, would I join with them? No, I've already made my decision. You know, that's behind me. It's left. It's gone. That's gone. And for the next several years, I would get invitations. Consulting friends would call me. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? One time they wanted to give me a job right in my own town. They said, look, you can just work when you want to. I said, no. No, my time is now for the Lord. Amen. So we need to know His calling. When He calls, we need to say amen. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, that was not an instantaneous amen. It took the Lord a couple of years to work this out. You know, the Twin Towers went, Enron went, and it was a year after that I finally said amen. But the point is, the Lord is long-suffering. So we need to be those just listening to Him, hearing His voice, living in the light of His presence. And like I mentioned earlier, in the morning, even when I was doing that consulting, when I was preparing early in the morning for that day, I'd have the hymns praying. Hymns playing in the computer while I was... So I was still, as best I could in a consulting environment, practicing to live according to the Lord's presence. Okay. Let's read two together. For Christ coming,
we must prepare
ourselves. Love Him and grow in Him, that at His appearing we may be mature, raptured, and receive the reward. Attaining maturity is not an overnight matter. Maintain, it's not an overnight matter. It's not. And when the Lord comes back, everyone will not be at the same level of maturity. All the overcomers are not going to be at the same level. Okay? But they'll all be running. They'll all be running the race. Okay? That's the key. Are we running the race? If we're running the race according to the gift He's given us, and according to our growth in life, we're overcoming. That's the key. We don't have to achieve to a certain status. We don't have to become Watchman Nee or Emmy Barber or Brother Lee. or any of the other brothers that we see speaking on the platform. We don't have to grow that way, to that degree. Maybe the Lord will. Maybe some of us will grow to that degree. But the point is, we need to be running the race. If we're running the race with the gifts He's given us, being faithful to Him day by day, we will be raptured. So don't say, wow, I got to attain to a certain status. No, I just need to be running the race. That's all. Just running the race. If we're running the race, we'll be raptured. Running the race, be raptured. Okay, A. We must pursue and grow in our spiritual life, earnestly maintaining a living fellowship with the Lord and have proper dealings with Him. Living fellowship, proper dealings. Sisters, read B.
We must
pray to consecrate ourselves to Him, the overcomers of the highest revelation of Christ, and offer themselves willingly to the Lord in the splendor of their consecration. Amen. Psalm 110:3. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare, in the splendor of their consecration. Your young men will be to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. So we give the Lord a drink. Our consecration gives the Lord a drink. And that's what He wants. He wants our consecration. If we're consecrated to Him day by day, we'll be raptured. We just need to live our life day by day. That's all. Just live it day by day. Day by day, loving the Lord, day by day, pursuing Him, listening to Him, and His presence will be real to us, and one day we'll be in His presence. Just be like that. We'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden we'll be with Him at the throne. Literally. One day. But it's day by day. Day by day. Day by day. Okay, C. Brothers. Amen. Take time to behold Him. Listen to His word. Receive a revelation concerning Him. Okay. Sisters, D. Amen. So this is the matter of life. Remember, we had watchfulness and service. So D, we need to take care of all of these life practices to be filled, to gain the oil. It's these life practices that fill us with the oil. Brothers, read E. Amen. Okay, that's service. So dive into the church life. Participate in all the aspects of the church life. All of them. Okay, let's all stand up and read the focus together.
Having realized the Lord will come back soon, need to have proper attitude toward His coming. Who are loving, watching, waiting, expecting, even hastening His return, who are preparing for His coming by growing, maturing, functioning in the divine life for the building up of the body of Christ and the preparation of the bride. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord.
Lord, we want You to come back. Lord, we call on You. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn now. This is probably the best hymn I know of concerning the Lord's return and waiting for His return in a proper way. was written by our brother Watchman Nee. It's number 958. 958.